Our first reading this morning is very familiar. In fact, you may be able to recite it from memory. But I urge you to please pay attention. Don't tune out, no matter how familiar this is, because these words really tell us what is unique about Christianity, what makes us different from every other faith system in the world. So please now pay close attention to what you hear from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next scripture reading follows up with the first one, although there's a little bit of added material that was in between the two, which is the road to Emmaus, where Jesus walks unrecognized by two of his followers, and they are surprised he doesn't know about what's gone on in Jerusalem, that Jesus had been crucified. And then Jesus begins to tell them of all the reasons why he needed to be crucified. And then when they stop for the evening and get meal, Jesus blesses the food and they recognize him. And then he's gone. And then it picks up here with the disciples and his followers in the upper room where they were gathered. It reads this way. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. What is your best day ever? That day that you look back on and you say, "Wow, that was a great day." For me, I have three best days ever. The day that I got married and the birth of my two children. Those were great days. And I look back on them and I realize that they were also life-changing days. My life would never be the same after those days. And it's been changed for the good, I might add. Easter, the first Easter, I would say is the best day ever for the whole world. In the history of the world, that's the best day ever. But you know something? For my best days, there was a lot of great anticipation for those days coming. There was preparation and organizing and getting everything ready so those days would be perfect. As perfect as they could be. But that wasn't the case with that first Easter. It caught the disciples, the followers of Jesus, completely by surprise. When Jesus died on Friday, they were heartbroken. Their dreams were shattered. Their grief was inconsolable. Life was going to be different. And it wasn't going to be for the better, so they thought. And then on Easter morning, it didn't happen quite suddenly as we might think, but the women who had watched Jesus die on the cross, and they were going back to the tomb to finish the work that they hadn't been able to complete, the preparation of the body for burial. They hadn't been able to complete it because of the Sabbath beginning. And so they were going back fully expecting the body to be there and to finish the preparations. And when they got there, they discovered the body was gone. And it wasn't an instant, oh, Jesus is risen. It was, where's the body? Where'd it go? And then they were told by two men in dazzling clothes that he had risen. And that he wasn't there anymore. And I'm pretty sure they didn't really grasp it even then. But they did go back and they told the other disciples. And the other disciples thought, these poor, emotionally distraught women, they're delusional. They don't know what they're talking about. But Peter did run to the tomb and discover that the body was not there. So their grief is now turning to bewilderment and confusion. What's going on? And so they've gathered that night, and they're behind locked doors, and suddenly Jesus is there, right in their midst. He is alive. He has risen from the dead. And this was the best day ever. And it was a life-changing day for those that were in that room, and it was a life-changing day for the world. It reminds me of the famous sermon that Tony Campolo, the sociologist preacher from Eastern University, that he preaches. It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. And in that sermon, he talks about Friday, the day that they nailed Jesus to the cross. But that's Friday. Sunday's a coming. And it was Friday that the women were gathered in front of the cross watching their Savior die. But that was Friday. Sunday's a coming. And on he goes talking about all the terrible, awful things that happened on Friday. But after each one, he reminds the people that Sunday's a coming. Now that works for us because we know what it means when he says Sunday's a coming. We know that means resurrection, new life, victory over death. That wasn't the way the first disciples were looking at it. Not until Sunday came. Those who've been here long enough know that I have borrowed from that sermon that Tony does before. And it's a fun one to do. But whenever I've done it, he always ends his sermon with that. I begin it with that. And then I go on to share the ways that the resurrection, that Sunday that has come, has been changing the world. Because it's important for us to remember that because Christ is risen, the world will never be the same again. that it was the best day ever. And I was reminded of this recently when I was preparing a message that I was going to be giving to my daughter Bethany's church in Jacksonville. They invited me to come and speak at one of their Lenten services. And I was talking on just helping always help. Is it possible that our helping sometimes hurts those we intend to help? And as I was preparing for that, I came across something that the sociologist Rodney Stark wrote about, and the ways that Christians revitalized the cities of Rome. That they brought change and new ideas of how you help and serve people that were foreign to the pagan mind. And he describes those Roman cities as just cesspots of humanity. That there was poor sanitation in these cities, that there was contaminated water in these cities, that there was high population density, that there were open sewers and filthy streets and unbelievable stench and rampant crime and buildings that would frequently collapse and illnesses and plagues that would leave hundreds of people, if not more, dead. There was high immigration. That was the only way you could sustain the population. And the life expectancy in those cities was around 30 or less. This is what was facing these Christians coming into these cities. And because the Christians had experienced the loving sacrifice of Jesus in their lives, they were willing to offer that same loving sacrifice to those that were in the city. And this was just unheard of in the pagan world. And mercy was not something that you would admire. The pagan mind thought mercy was something that the rational person would never do. And yet this is what the Christians were doing. They found in those cities their niche. And that they could be changing the world because of what was going on. And they would reach out to the people that were destitute and sick and dying. And there was just no ethical foundation in the pagan world to do such things. The Christians reached out to the least and the forgotten and the ignored, caring for them. And for the homeless and the destitute, the Christians offered charity and hope to the immigrants that were coming into the city, keeping it populated. They offered a sense of family, and they welcomed them in inclusiveness. And then there's the violence, the crime that would go on. The Christians brought stability to these communities. And then there was the epidemics and the plagues. And the Christians offered nursing and care and even dignity to those who were dying. These things were new, different, and they attracted people to the church. They attracted people to Christianity. And through the years since, Christians have always led the way in bringing about social reform. They are the ones that started schools and universities, orphanages, hospitals. They are the ones who care for the poor, the sick, those that are considered least in society. This has been going on for years, for centuries, how Christians have helped. It still goes on today. There are some Christian organizations that you might not know started as Christian organizations. AA, Habitat for Humanity, Hospice. These all had beginnings or origins in the Christian faith. The abolition movement, the civil rights movement, they both began within the church. The church has done more good for the world than I think any other group or movement in all of history. And it's because of the best day ever. And it begins with the recognition of the cross and the resurrection, the empty tomb. It begins with the belief that Jesus, through his death on the cross, has somehow bridged the gap that separates us from God because of our sins, our wrongdoings. It believes that God loves us and desires to be in a personal relationship with us, to change our lives, to shape and mold us into people that God wants us to be. And it's when we surrender ourselves to Christ and allow him and the Holy Spirit to live within us that we begin to change. And we do this by faith. We receive God's grace with a simple act of faith. But God doesn't leave us there, because God wants to use us to be changing the world, like I just shared how God's been doing it through the centuries. That God has something for us to do. I wonder why you came to church this morning. There are faces I don't recognize. Faces that I sort of recognize. Some of you come on Easter and rarely any other time. And I wonder why you came today. Was it because it is Easter, and so I should have at least one day of religious experience? Was it because we have special music and you wanted to hear the music? Was it because of family? You wanted to be with family over this weekend? Whatever your reason for coming, I'm glad you're here. And I do, like we said at the beginning, I pray that the transforming love of Jesus Christ might touch your heart today. That might say within you, I want to do more in following Jesus. Perhaps some of you are here because you know something's missing in your life. Perhaps you have guilt for things that you've done. Or perhaps you just have this emptiness that life should have more meaning than what you're experiencing. Perhaps you're here because you're depressed or you're grieving. And you somehow want life to make sense. I believe you come to the right place. Because in Christ, we can have forgiveness of our sins. We can be freed from whatever guilt we might hold on to. We come to Christ and we realize that we're loved and we're cared for, and that God is there for us. When we come to Christ, things can be different. There can be a peace and a joy within us, a meaning and purpose to our lives. Now, some of you come every week. We like you. We need you. But you come because you need this place. You need to come so that you can be inspired and lift it up so that you can face what's coming to you in the coming week. You come so that you might be growing in your faith, in your Christian experience. You come that you might be loved by others and that you might love others. We come to be with each other, to support and lift each other up and care for each other, because we all go through ups and downs in life. And when we're up, we're to be there for those that are down. And when we're down, we have those that are others that are here that are able to lift us up. And we need that. We come also so that we might be equipped to go out into the world and change the world. There's only so much an individual can do to make the world a better place. You can do far more when you come together and work together. And that's what we do as a church. And even when churches work together, and not just an individual church, you can accomplish far more. Today is the day that we take up an offering for the great hour of sharing. And I didn't mention that, but you should have envelopes in your pews if you want to give to that. Churches of many different denominations contribute to this offering, and it goes out to help others. And within the Presbyterian Church, one of the ones I really like is the self-development of people. That is money that is given out in grants that help people, that it's a hand up rather than a hand out. And it's the people improving and working for their own improvement. So we're here to learn how we can better serve the world. Today is the best day ever for the world, for us as Christians. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.